93.7 en San Diego, 99.5 Ridgecrest y China Lake. Para el resto del mundo, kpfk.org.
Es día de frío y llegas a casa. Vienes de la tarde cansada de un jueves. Los muebles, tu perro y millones de ojos están como siempre esperando tu vuelta, en la que presientes que nada ha cambiado. Te espera lo mismo, el sueño ha pasado.
Radio Pacífica es una de las últimas estaciones de radio comunitarias en extinción, en una nación que enaltece el principio de la libertad de expresión. Fundada en 1949 por objetores de conciencia de la Segunda Guerra Mundial, Pacífica es una de las radios comunitarias más antiguas en el mundo y una de las únicas que transmite en español en los Estados Unidos. Pacífica se mantiene económicamente a través de donaciones públicas. No recibimos fondos de corporaciones y eso nos permite nuestra libertad editorial y mantener nuestra misión pacifista.
Tune into Canto Sin Fronteras, that is, Song Without Borders.
And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, or the stream of Free Radio, it's Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. And in the studio with me for half an hour and maybe to return. He has other engagements. Is Councilmember-elect Christopher Crone, but first a little music to soften us both up so we can come on fresh as a daisy. Don't go away. Call-in number here is 427-3772. Let the phone keep ringing until I deign to answer it, and we'll get to the calls and so forth insofar as we can in 30 minutes. Stay tuned.
I went down to Chance Bodega, a funky corner store. I walked in and what I saw, it knocked me to the floor. Lots of jars full of cigars at $30 each. A neon sign, imported wine, and microcreamery cheese. And there's no more single cigarettes, and no more bargain beer. The writing's on the wall, my friends, the end is drawing near. SUVs are everywhere, old trucks cannot be found. This is not the place where I grew up, I don't know my own hometown. Just look and you can see it, you can watch the city die. Stadiums got new losses, and it's enough to make you cry. Where once there was a mural, there's an ad designer. Hell, the city that I knew is gone, this city is for sale. Apartments, farms, and condos, they burn down cheap hotels. Yuppies take the south side, and the city goes to design. It's full of rocks, it's a mountaintop, and clouds go rolling by. Got alpine cuisine, I saw limousines, and it's full of guys high. Just look and you can see it, you can watch the city die. Today we got new losses, it's enough to make you cry. Where once there was a mural, there's an ad designer. Hail, the city that I knew was gone, the city is for sale. Apartments on the condos, they turn down. Yuppies take the south side, and the city goes to hell. Yuppies take the south side, and the city goes to hell. Yuppies take the south side, and the city goes to hell.
And that was City for Sale by the San Francisco Mime Troupe from 15, 20 years ago, by a musical or a show of the same name, City for Sale. Again, you're tuned to Free Radio. We'd be at 101.3 if we could put up our transmitter, and we will soon, particularly if Chris gives us his house to put it up in, but that hasn't been negotiated yet. In the studio with me is Chris Crone. Hey, Chris, say hello.
Hey, Robert, how are you doing? Is my mic on, or I don't even hear myself?
Both mics are on, so you can talk to yourself and to us.
I can hear you. Can you hear me? I can
hear you, but try using that one.
This one right here?
Let me take a look. Make sure you are, in fact.
I can hear your voice perfectly.
Yeah, you're doing
all right.
Fine.
Oh, nice.
Maybe you don't have your...
Oh, there
maybe
you
your
go.
Earphones don't work. Try this.
There you go. No, they're on.
We're good. Okay, well, I earlier today I put out a kind of a brief note. By the way, Chris is only staying for another 25 minutes, squeezing out of his hour time, but he's agreed to come back if need be.
I'm so happy to be here, Robert.
Are you? That's good. I'm planning to interrogate you about issues of council transparency and accountability, restoring public spaces, cessation of the raids on homeless encampments individuals, as well as you've got a list of your own programs, though, frankly, you'll be discussing those at length, I presume, elsewhere. You can talk about them here a bit, but I'd like to get you focused on these issues that my listeners, the few that I have, are concerned about.
I like your new studio.
Thanks. It's not going to be here for long. I think we got to find another studio. But while it's here, we get to use it. You were mayor in 2002. You ran unsuccessfully as supervisor, and you've written occasionally on political and activist subjects. I don't know if you read all this. This is what I wrote on Indie Bay for you, or for me, or for us. I and other homeless activists wrote about your administration. And the refusal of the administration you are a part of to, in the main, to advocate for local human rights, particularly for poor and homeless people. I ask, has the former council member grown a new set of wings and balls? A very kind of blatant way of describing it. This year, Crone has kept up with the politically acceptable liberal positions of the day, such as former Mayor Lane's belated, partial, and failed sleeping ban repeal proposal of last March. He's also jumped on the bandwagon of those betrayed by Bernie last summer. As you may notice, I'm not putting this in very flattering terms, but certainly feel free to dispute any of this or to clarify it. Crone did speak about ending the sleeping ban in his opening council speech on December 13th, and the Afterburn Coalition did also raise that issue as a rallying point, or at least as a part of their program. Since Crone does not have the potential majority he had, and that's what you were saying before the program began, Chris, and didn't use in 2002, it remains to be seen whether in 2007 his rhetoric can be turned into concrete action. Such actions might be, and we're not talking about a majority here, Chris, we're talking about just actions, Public Records Act requests, raising issues on which he will lose in the short run but educate in the long haul, and use the prerogatives of office to spotlight rather than rubber stamp staff abuses. However, there's often a yawning gap between campaign promises or statements made on the radio and their fulfillment. We often find to our chagrin that those in power don't need to act on their rhetoric since they can't be held accountable for it. And, of course, I'm going to be adding my own additions to these questions to sharpen the discussion. So I guess the thing to begin with is, are you... I've got a bunch of little ones here for you, but...
Robert, let me begin by saying, by correcting the record a bit, because I know that you're a journalist who likes to have a sharp, kind of sharp tact and go.
Correct the record. What have I said is wrong?
Well, when you say about human rights, local human rights, I believe I supported
local human rights,
medical marijuana from the steps of City Hall when I was mayor. I also...
Let me stop you right there. Chris, ask George Bush with a bunch of other folks
to get out of Iraq.
Let's talk about medical marijuana, because you and I had a long-standing dispute on this. Yes.
We started the Tannery Arts Project down there.
Chris,
100 units of affordable housing for artists.
Slow down. You did distribute marijuana from the steps of City Council for, what was it, 7 or 8 people from a favorite group, Wham. However, you voted for the sugar proposal that for 5 years closed all medical marijuana clubs, including Kate Wells' club that had been set up. You refused to allow for essentially clubs until we got Rotkin sniffing around in 2005. So I think it was a symbolic gesture. I liked it. I liked your support for opposing the federal, you know, bust of Valerie Correll. I thought it was good. But it's rather meaningless if you're shutting off 2,000 people who are patients and, you know, giving marijuana to a few people in a symbolic... In fact, it smacks of opportunism to me.
I think we work with Camp Paradise to keep them away from the floodwaters. We put them up in a motel for a couple weeks in order to get some transition housing.
Let me comment on
I've always focused on affordable housing.
Let's comment on that. Now, I'm going to take this issue by issue.
Yes, you did.
And you have, more so than other council members, you were an advocate for Camp Paradise. But the resolution that passed... Sugar's addition to Emily Riley's rather vicious enforce all camping laws along the river, including those against Camp Paradise, which Officer Seeley then did with great diligence. There was also a resolution that asked the city manager to find other spots for Camp Paradise to go. You became a mayor in 2002, and you took no such action to find those spots that I remember. But correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm an advocate for the vulnerable, Robert. You know... that I always have been, and
actions, Chris.
What can you do in City Hall? And we just talked about.
Well,
this
I just
a while
told
ago.
You could have.
You need
could...
4 votes. And
no, you don't.
Right. Well, but bully pulpits are a very important part of
that's
politics.
That's true. But also,
I agree with you
have access. You have access, and I'm saying this because I'm not hopeful you're going to do this. I don't want to lie to you about how hopeful I am for you or any other council member for that member, but for that matter. But you could put pressure on the staff in a public way, provided you want to mobilize that constituency that you essentially, I catch you trying to rouse it when you spoke on December 13th to the crowd out there. You wanted them to back you on a number of issues. You wanted to be a sort of a part of a unified movement around issues. You can do that with the staff.
I'm not going to do it alone, but I...
You have to do it alone. Who else is going to do it?
I will confront the staff, and I will take direction from folks who are in the electorate, in the constituency. So people who email me, people who call me, people stop me in the street. Somebody stopped me today and asked about a dumpster for 10 units. I said, well, I think one dumpster for 10 units is not really good enough. So then I take that, you know, to...
Will you be holding regular meetings?
The garbage, the water department.
Yeah, no, right. Will you be holding regular meetings so people can do this? I know you did this 4 years ago. We used to meet at the Pergolesi in the old days, and it was not terribly satisfying, but, you know, you were one of the few council members. If
what, you didn't like the location, or you didn't like the content?
I thought that... not much came out of those meetings, but I think you eventually abandoned them. But there was, and I don't think in 2002, for instance, you were holding them anymore when you were mayor. But when you began in 1999, you did hold them. Do you intend this next few months to hold? When and where will they be?
Let's talk about the choreography. What would you like to see? How would you like to structure the agenda be structured? I mean, I'm going to take
when and where will these meetings, Chris? When and where will these meetings?
The electorate.
When and where will these meetings be so that people can come and actually talk to you about that issue?
We will probably be moving around, but Pergolesi is a good place to meet. Mm-hmm. I don't have an actual time for you right now. That is, the first council meeting is July 10th.
Mm-hmm. January. Take a deep breath.
I'm dying for summer here,
it's
Robert.
It's okay.
January 10th.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's going to the regular 1:30 closed session, which you and I know that. We need to move stuff off the closed session agenda and out into the open sunshine air. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be the regular whatever 2:30 session and a 7 p.m. session. I will let you know, and you'll be included in an email, and you can put it out to your listeners meeting will be.
I mean, January is fast approaching. I mean, if you really have an interest in furthering this agenda that the Bernie gang of four, of which two got elected, want to further, I would suggest you start holding meetings immediately, like every week, and so you can actually get a bunch of people who are operating for you as a staff, a de facto staff, independently of Martine Bernal's little cabal that runs the city hall. And I don't say this because I don't like, you know, Rosemary and even Anna Brooks, my old friend, but, you know, they are beholden to an institutional power structure.
We're going to keep the speech member. We're going to keep it on the highest level here.
We are on the highest level. I'm talking about the realities of City Hall, and I think you need to, too.
Many meetings I've had already, as you probably can imagine. What I'm trying to do is do that, get that curve up there, and I'm rolling the ball uphill, the boulder.
Specifics.
And I've met with every current council member.
The metaphors. Hell with the metaphors.
I've met with every current council member and every outgoing council member.
About what? What have you met with them about?
About the issues that they've advocated for, and trying to figure out what kind of room we have. We're talking about.
Let me start with it.
Currently, we're talking about a sanctuary ordinance, and
okay, a sanctuary ordinance is nice, but what about sanctuary for local homeless people who are getting harassed?
I like it.
Will you be including that in your sanctuary ordinance?
It's not my ordinance. Again,
have the power to make an amendment. You know,
give me the amendment and let me know what you think.
Oh, come on, you don't need me.
Write it right here.
You don't need me.
Write it on the radio.
You don't need me to give
Robert.
You the amendment, Chris. Amendment. You are on. Well, you know, you obviously include homeless people in terms of those that will not be unfairly harassed or dismissed for lack of shelter when no shelter exists. You know, the very same thing that you proposed. It's your idea. You did it in 1998 where you declared sleep as a human right on the first council meeting you were a party to. And good for you for doing it.
And I think Keith Sugar, God rest his soul, seconded that, or I seconded him.
The two of you tried also to suspend the sleeping ban over the winter, which you should try to do again before the death rate rises higher. I'm not familiar with how many people have died this year, but it's, you know, it's going to be below
Robert,
freezing.
Robert, we have to win something, too. We have to figure out how to get a consensus here as well. I know you're thinking, damn the consensus, man. Just get your issue out there.
We win something when you educate the public, and that's the only way we're going to win something is by educating the public. And that cannot happen by playing politics with this clown of right-wingers that's running the city council, which exactly, unfortunately, is what I think you're going to be doing. And I understand it. That's what politicians are supposed to do.
Why do you keep doing what you do if you don't feel like you're getting anywhere? The clowns keep being the clowns.
Wait a minute. I didn't say I didn't think I was getting anywhere, although I often do feel that way. I said I think we're not going to get anywhere with the city council if you are playing politics. I think we will get somewhere with you if you continue to focus on your activism. You have been at times, and I think you'd like to regard yourself as, an activist.
Can you be an activist in office?
Of course.
Can you name a few around the country who are activists?
Well, I'm hoping we can name Chris Crow. Actually, I'm not really hoping, but I mean, I'm dreaming. I'm fantasizing
I'm
that we
dreaming
can name. Yeah, exactly.
Activist.
I'm dreaming about Chris, activist. Yes, for sure. All right. Well, look.
Activists around the country that I can model myself after that you're saying up to say these people are doing it, man.
Well, I'm telling
how come we're not doing it here?
I think I proposed to you already, and you, if you want to read my email on my calendar report on NDB, which I just read, you heard it. There's some suggestions about what you can do. And if you want to read, I actually can. I was going
to
bring
no activists that you look up to yet, who are actually doing stuff legislatively. Legislative activists.
You know, I'm interested in you and what you can do, not what others have done in the past or in other cities have done, although I could probably find some. I mean, there's some up in Arcata, and there have been some in...
What, Bob Ornelas? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know if it was him. It was a Green Party dissident. Unfortunately...
He made it to Congress?
I don't know if he made it to Congress. But, you know, again, specifically...
Few and far between, you're saying.
Let me remind people that since it's 6:20, we only have 10 minutes before you hit the road, Chris.
Oh, I like that when you get that deep voice going.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. 427-3772 is the call-in number here. I want to make sure that at least one person is listening to this so that you'll come back. Although, who knows, maybe
Robert,
people...
Robert, someone said there's a jacuzzi in here? Is that
not
still
true.
Happening?
Not true.
No.
But in any case, city council accessibility. Now, you said, and that's one of the things you mentioned, you gave me a list of things you were going to do, and I will post that list, I hope, if I don't space it out, under the calendar section, and also people can hear this later by going to the calendar section of the Santa Cruz Indie Media website. One of the things you said you wanted to do about city council process was you wanted to move oral communications to 7. Do you also intend to restore it to 3 minutes apiece and perhaps do what the supervisors do, which is... allow people to speak until the list is over, and then move on to business, however much that...
Don't forget, the supervisors meet at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's a pretty tough time for a lot of people to get there. I'm seeking to... I would like to have a conversation about moving
true.
It back to 7 o'clock so working people can make it.
Right,
and,
right.
I will say there's a logistics issue. If you have 30 people who want to speak on an issue...
you're going to give them 30 seconds each.
Giving them, you know, if you put 30 minutes
but
on
But you'll give the staff 30 minutes per
so
staff
you have
member.
A,
yeah.
Well, we'll work on that. But
will you?
Time
how are you going to work on
you
that?
You have a time certain for the first order of business.
I agree with you.
We have a time certain for oral communication.
Not, yeah,
I want that.
Let's not dispute that. I think that's a good idea. I think, it's a positive thing. Of course, the problem is the last time you and I wrangled about oral communications, you had me arrested and removed from the room.
I might have you removed from this room right here, but I don't know if anyone knows we're
try.
Here.
You can try.
Nobody
well,
knows where we
well,
are.
Well, hopefully someone's listening. But that has been a problem.
But do they know
that
where the
has
studio
been a problem
is?
In the past, not just with you. I'm not just trying to blame you for the $200,000 mistake that you made. That's how much it cost the city in costs.
You know that
the lawsuit.
You know that wasn't my mistake, Robert.
And well, you
that's
just
a mistake that well, I don't. I'm not the city attorney. I don't
you,
keep pursuing
you,
this. I don't keep defending the city.
You
could
have stood
they,
up,
they could
you,
have,
now, Chris. We're talking, of course, about the Heil Krone Nazi mock Nazi salute that that actually, admittedly, Councilmember Tim Fitzmaurice got upset about and said to you, Mr. Norris is making an indecorous gesture. I
his,
want him to
his
be removed.
His wife was Jewish, and he has
so
some roots there.
So what? You know, we're talking about city council and public discussions.
Well, people get emotional in politics.
Well, that's nice. And people get repressive who are on the city council.
I'm not disagreeing
with
you,
Robert. And it's important
for
you not to be a pawn in the hands of those people, Chris. That's what I'm concerned about.
Should I be a knight or a king?
I think you know what I'm talking about. And if you've learned your lesson there, and I don't know if you have or not, because, again, I've never heard you publicly apologize for what you did. which was not just cost the city $200,000. That's, you know, they don't mind throwing money away at developers every day, you know, that kind of stuff every day, but let's say every month or maybe even more frequently. But the real issue is people coming to city council, are they going to have to worry? Will they have you on there?
I was in court with you in San Jose, and they were 6-0 against your point of view.
Will they have you on your side when somebody makes a gesture that, Cynthia Chase doesn't like? So, for instance, I've turned my back on the city council in the last few meetings, indicating my disdain for their lack of interest, let's say, in holding Chief Vogel accountable for who shot Sean Arlt and revealing the audio and the video, which I'm assuming you're interested in dealing with that. You're going to make a call for that, or you're not?
I agree. I've asked the city manager what's up with that. He said that they have this 3-month investigation that they're completing.
I don't care what the city manager says. I care what the state law says, and the state law has no requirement that the SCPD keep these things hidden. And
I'm saying I'm in agreement with you. I would like to see all the information come out.
I don't just want,
like the county put all the information
in your
out.
Sentiments. I'm interested in your actions. See, that again is the issue. I want to make sure that when someone is about to be shot down, whether it's by your buddy Keith Sugar, the dead Keith Sugar, yes, he's dead. And yes, he did a lot of bad things and some good things while he was alive. I happened to notice the bad things because I was often the victim of those things, as I was in your situation.
You put yourself in those situations.
I put myself in a situation where I advocate for poor people. And when members of this council attempted to shut down discussion.
I think he advocated for poor people. I think he did something about it.
You stopped the advocacy at that March 2002 meeting, if you want to go back to it, and you wouldn't allow the full oral communications time, and you had one of the members of that body arrested.
If you remember, I was opposed, and I voted twice against the downtown ordinances that were being discussed.
Yes, you did.
That time.
Yes, you did.
And I thought more laws were not a good thing.
That was 7 months later. But at no time during the ensuing 12 years did you say, you know, I fucked up on this. I'm sorry. Tim Fitzmaurice should have had a thicker skin, and I should have been a little more on the ball and said, calm down, Tim. Robert, shut up. Let's get on with the meeting. You did not do that. And as a consequence, not only did the city spend a lot of... Anyway, it's not an attempt to blame you here. It's an attempt to determine if you're going to take a new course. That's my interest.
A new course?
Yes.
I think, of course, I think we're losing right now, Robert. I think we've lost a lot in Santa Cruz. I think there's a lot of market-rate housing
are
that's
you,
going up.
Are you going to take a new course?
I'm going to take a course of, you know, that I've
so for instance,
on before, championing, going for affordable units. I'm not a voice for the real estate or the developer community.
I know that. But I want to ask you again.
Sticking
to specific issues, for instance.
I think I've been pretty consistent.
Well, one of the big issues is for me has been the consent agenda. The consent agenda, as you... You're going to get off the hook here, Chris, because we're going to let this person ask you a question, and you will be able to respond to it. Let's see if we can actually get him on the air, or her. Are you calling in? Try again, because it looks like your call is stopped. So try again. Ah, there we go. Okay. Hi there. You're on Free Radio with Councilmember Chris Crown and radio guy Robert.
Good evening.
Hello? Hi, this is Brian Shulman, the producer of the BTS Presents show at Community Television of Santa Cruz show.
Yes.
Hello, Robert.
Hello, hello. But you see, Chris has to... Brian, Chris has to leave in 6 minutes, so be succinct if you can.
I was calling to say hello. I heard that the two of you were going to be on the radio, and I wanted to show my support to both of you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Ask a question. What are you interested in,
well,
Glenn?
He wants to extend his regards to both of us. That's good, Brian. I appreciate that. Is there anything else you wanted to ask?
I just want to tell Chris that I think that he's been a great candidate. And I'm glad that he was chosen as one of the city council people to make a difference.
Fair enough.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Have a great evening.
So, again, let me get back to this issue.
Consent agenda, oral communication.
Yes, the consent agenda is...
That area outside that they're marking off.
Yes. Are you about to say, and here's my question to you, you are completely right in saying that to make formal changes at city council, you need 4 votes. And that's going to be difficult for you to get on numerous issues. But... as a member of the city council, if a person comes up and says, I want to speak on this consent agenda item, you can remove it from the agenda yourself, and you can make sure that person has the option to speak on it, because that's part of the rules. However, so far that has not been done, in spite of, for example, commitments by people like Michael Posner to do that. They have not done that with any consistency. If this doesn't get done, and people should understand, the consent agenda takes up most of the city council afternoon agenda. A lot of it is, you know...
But it usually gets dispensed with within the first four or five minutes.
It does. It usually gets dispensed with quickly, but often some items are concealed on there.
I would tend to agree that there are things... I don't know if they're knowingly concealed or if there's just
right.
They don't know how important this issue is.
Yeah, it could be. But will you commit, if any member of the public wants a consent agenda item removed, you will, as a matter of principle, remove it?
Well, I will check with other council members and find out that we have... I think I can be overruled at any time.
Well, I don't...
You don't understand this. Four votes does everything.
Well, that's
everything
fine. Let them overrule you, but let the public see that there is one council member who is not willing to muzzle the public.
Is there anyone besides Robert Norris that does this?
I can think of numerous people in the past. Your old pal Ed Davidson used to do this.
Yeah.
And more members of the public did too. But more important, it's an option that people aren't aware they have anymore.
I think, you know, being on the council is a lot of discretion going on. I will tend toward discretioning, toward favoring the public. And I think that, again, that is my record.
You're not going to commit yourself to, as a matter of principle, if somebody asks, removing an item from the agenda.
I would like to...
By the way, that means is letting it be talked about rather than simply shutting up the public on that item, other than...
Yes, and you know I agree with that. I agree we need to talk about that, every item.
Especially
the items that the public wants to talk about.
If you agree with it, then I want to see you do it, and we'll see if you do.
Well, let's go. Let's see.
One of the things is...
January 10th.
See, you get paid, not much, but you get paid to go to city council. To me, it is a pain in the ass, and frankly, these days, a pain in the rest of my body to go to these damn council meetings, unless I know I'm going to be at least given an opportunity to speak. I want to know that that's going to happen before I even bother to sit around and sit through 100 presentations by the staff. I'm exaggerating, of course, but you know what I mean. So if that's why I'm asking you to commit yourself to doing that, and I'm not expecting you to, because it does mean you're going to raise the hackles of other council members when you do that. You're going to spend your political capital if you do that.
And part of it is actually getting some things done that... You
may be punished for doing that, Chris.
That could very well be, Robert. We'll find out.
So you may have to sacrifice your integrity in order to get a few things through the city council, if this is a part of your
integrity. I don't know, but I think, as you said, there's a certain amount of political capital. If you have four votes, you get a lot more things possibly through, although even with four votes, we found out that didn't happen back in 2001, too. We had five votes at that time and didn't get everything. People agree to disagree.
Yeah, I don't know much. You got much of anything in 2002. What do you think you did get in 2002? I'd like to get historical, but I got to warn you that you have 2 minutes till it's 6:30.
I'll give you five. We started the Tannery Arts Project, which I think is pretty good.
I appreciate that.
We got 1010 Pacific Avenue, which is a significant 80 units of affordable housing. We got the Del Mar Theater revamp. We got a bike lane going past the boardwalk, which you ever deal with Charlie Canfield. It's pretty hard. There's a two-way bike lane there. Right now, and also one up to campus.
How about rent control? You going to go for rent control?
Definitely that was on the Santa Cruz for Bernie agenda.
I know. And are you going to go for rent control, Chris?
We are going to definitely look at rent stabilization, rent control programs. And, again, is it going to be me getting it on the ballot, four votes getting it on the ballot, or somebody going out with a petition and getting 4,000
signatures? Well, is it going to be you leading mass rallies that will energize people to go out and do that?
I think you heard the brand new council during the campaign. We all talked about rent stabilization, rent control,
campaign promises to get elected are one thing, and after the campaign, I rarely see council members, I don't remember.
I think Mountain View just passed one.
I rarely see council members standing up before large groups of people mobilizing them to do things. Are you prepared to start doing that when you're on the council?
In fact, we have a walk going on January 8th. We're going to go at 4:00. We're going to be knocking on doors in the Lower Ocean area and finding out what people think. It's not just a campaign
about
thing that we went out to get elected.
We're
going to continue the campaign.
You're talking about the group of four?
Sandy Brown, myself, and 20 people have signed up to do this. We're going to find out about
the issue that Robert was just talking about, rent control, the sanctuary ordinance, and minimum wage.
All right, so
raising the minimum
wage. I'll give you a plug here, if you'd like. How can people join this campaign if they want to help you do this?
The website is not up yet, but you can go to the Crone for Council website, and there'll be periodic updates. Crone4Council.com. Crone, K-R-O-H-N, number 4, Council.com.
Well, if you can, when you get home, Chris, put that on the calendar event for this particular radio deal on Santa Cruz Indie Media so people can access it.
Lots of things coming up. The sanctuary ordinance, we're hoping to get it on the agenda on
January
10th.
Without mentioning the homeless, of course.
And then on January 20th, there is a big, huge organizing effort going on around Santa Cruz. There's a women's march on the 21st, and on the 20th, there is an anti-Trump administration march.
Well, how about an anti-Matthews and Chase administration march? Have you thought about that?
Robert, you are somebody who should be organizing also.
He's leaving the studios. I think we're driving him out with that one.
There's no jacuzzi here? I was told there's a jacuzzi.
Anyway, so, Chris, do you think, based upon this experience, you're going to want to come back and do some more talking?
What do you mean? Run again for city council? I don't know.
No.
People thought I'd rock in my head and run again this time.
Subject yourself to another half hour or hour on the show.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you came in.
Let's talk about it at Pergolesi when I have my first meeting.
Which will be when?
That's what I just told you.
To be announced.
Exactly.
I know,
TBA.
All right. That's Chris Crone. Let's get a little music, and you take care of yourself, Chris.
Thank you, Robert.
All right, man. And we're going to be right back with your phone calls, 427-3772, if any such happen our way.
Thank you for your time.
Oh, yeah. No problem, Chris. Come back again.
We'll see you in city council?
Who knows? You never can tell.
Robert, you're like, tradition.
Thanks.
Bob, suppose Cynthia's right. Suppose something went wrong, we could get sued.
Don't worry, chill out, put your mind at ease. Success is assured by the five big D's. Deny, delay, do, dump, and divide. A formula, my potent, and my herbicide. Deny, delay, dump, dupe, and divide. Let me take you on the 5D ride. Let's say we're responsible for causing harm. Let's say someone raises a big alarm. Just say it's not true. Say it's a lie. It works like a charm to just deny it.
Works like a charm to just deny it?
If the government says you gotta find a solution or pay for your environmental pollution, to levy a fine, just don't pay it. If they threaten legislation, just delay it.
If they threaten legislation, just delay it.
Different groups unite, get up in arms. Tree huggers in the trees and the farmers on the farms. Here's an elegant proposition. All you got to do is divide the opposition.
All you gotta do is divide the opposition.
Yeah, now watch me work. Ow! If we run into a problem, we go on the attack. Get ourselves a PR plaque, buy some TV time, pipe in the poop. The whole damn country can be duped.
The whole damn country can be duped.
Now, worse comes to worse, and it all goes to hell. No one's buying what we got to sell. A problem over here, just go over there. Dump it in the third world over there, who cares?
Dump it in the third world over there, who cares?
Deny, delay, you dump and divide. Deny, delay, you dump and divide. Deny, delay, you dump and divide. I think he's got it.
And that was a replay of another one of my favorites from Eating It, which is another Mime Troupe production about genetically modified foods, the five big D's, deny, delay, dupe, dump, and divide. That's also applicable to politicians as well. You're tuned to the stream of free radio at freakradio.org. We're still looking for both a transmitter site and a studio. We are in a studio now, but we are going to be likely losing that studio very soon because the place we're in has to be remodeled. And we're getting this through the grace of the landlord. Thank you very much, Mr. Landlord. We appreciate it. And so we need a new place to go. It doesn't have to be huge. 10 by 10 would be good. 10 by 5 would be okay. But the sooner we get something, the less broadcasters will lose by attrition. Same thing is true of the transmitter site, which is a place where we put up our antenna in a separate location from the studio, so the two don't get wiped out all at once. And the rather rare event that we actually have the feds come down on us, which has only happened once in the history of Free Radio Santa Cruz. That was way back in 2004. And, you know, we just came back again, and then we've been going strong ever since. We began in 1995, and who knows? Maybe we'll be going in many years from now, hopefully. So that was Chris Krohn. Kind of briefly, we kind of tangled on a few issues. Chris is a friendly guy, and this guy's... And, you know, it's okay to talk with him. I'm finding it easier to talk with him now than I used to, probably because, frankly, I don't take a lot of shit. I'm not interested in hearing a lot of rhetoric, and so I sort of break in and say, well, let's get to the meat of things. Here's a caller. Maybe we can get to the meat of things with her or him. Hi, you're on Free Radio with me. I'm Robert.
I stick my neck out for nobody.
I think I know that voice.
Robert, it's cool that you had the guy on, but
you enjoyed it.
Well, I enjoyed the familiarity of knowing that nothing was going to happen unless it was a foregone conclusion. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong?
Well,
do you expect Mr. Krohn to stick his neck out for anything?
No, not particularly.
All right. Okay. He is going to prance around, look pretty, proclaim his liberal, progressive values, and do nothing, unless it's a foregone conclusion.
Well, it's interesting that what he says about going around to the neighborhoods on, was it January 8th or something? I may have the date wrong. And mobilizing people, because that is the only way that he's ever going to counter the institutional inertia and reactionary reality of the staff and also the council majority. And I don't know that he's going to actually do that unless...
No, it's a cover. It's a cover. It's a cover for...
Could be.
No, forgive me. It's a cover for doing nothing.
Uh-huh.
It's a cover for looking the other way.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying Chris is a bad guy. I think he's a nice guy. I know Chris on a semi-personal level, and I know you do. He's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of sticking his neck out, being a leader,
mm-hmm.
advocating, then there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way.
Yeah. I tend to suspect you're right. On the other hand, I let him in the studio to give him a chance. Actually, not so much to give him a chance. I wanted to clarify what the facts are on a number of these issues, and I think I did to some extent. Although, you know, we didn't have a lot of time and there was a lot of interrupting back and forth. But still, I mean, Chris's narrative is incomplete, to say the least. And it's also somewhat...
Well, I put it in the Humphrey Bogart Casablanca way. I stick my neck out for nobody.
Uh-huh.
Right? And, well, unless there's an epiphany.
Right, but what I'm talking about...
I don't see Krohn sticking his neck out.
See, I'm talking about his narrative about how things are. And I think it's really important to have a clear narrative about what happened in the past, although we're talking about stuff that happened when he was mayor 14
years
ago.
Isn't his narrative essentially that without four votes, why stick your neck out?
Well, no. The narrative is about what happened historically. That's what interests me. And you're right. He did say that about the four votes. And
without four votes, why stick my neck out?
But I pointed out to him that there are many things he can do without the four votes, and the question of whether he...
Of course there is. Of course there is, Robert, and you're correct on that.
Yeah.
It is once in a while that someone like Mark Leno comes along, right?
I'm not familiar with Mark.
Sticks his neck out. Huh?
I've heard of Mark, but
Mark Leno was
a
San Francisco supervisor that's now, I think he might even be a senator, a state senator, who spoke out. Who risked political capital.
Well, sometimes, you know, politicians speak out on one issue, maybe, that they're very, very, you know, committed to or something. Anyway, Chris...
He's in the way. I'll be honest. He's in the way. Did he say anything?
Well, the entire city council. The entire city council.
Abuse of power.
The entire city council is in the way. There's no question about it. And
more important, the
city manager is in the way.
The pretense of Krohn being the great liberal on a white horse.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's what he likes to posture himself as. But I have told him, that, you know, that hasn't been the past record, and the rhetoric doesn't impress me. So, you know, prove it. And I don't think he's going to, but you never can tell, you know. I mean,
just briefly, I went to Carolyn Booth.
Hello? We lost you there, Bob. You're about to... Maybe you were going about to mention Carolyn Boozenhart, an ancient...
That's right. Am I gone?
No, you're back. Go ahead.
Oh, no, Carolyn, I went to her memorial today.
Oh, she died?
Carolyn Boozenhart was a very persistent activist, and to me that's, you know, commendable.
Wait a minute. Carolyn Boozenhart died?
Oh, yeah, Carolyn Boozenhart died earlier in the fall.
Oh,
and Vernon Bohr, her husband, arranged a memorial today.
I see. I hadn't heard about
it. Okay. I saw a lot of people that you and I both know. It was really a very cool scene, as far as I'm concerned.
Hmm.
She was 75 years old.
Oh, wow.
When she died. One of her granddaughters is a aide to a Democratic congressperson. In southern Nevada, in Las Vegas.
Before you go any further, we should say Carolyn Boozenhart is a notorious right-wing activist from the
'80s
and 90s.
She was an activist.
Well, she was for sure she was an activist. She and Vernon were really interested in smashing any kind of homeless civil rights movement in Santa Cruz, making sleeping outside a misdemeanor. She was going after that. She was big into countering any kind of attempts to get kind of human and humane treatment, which is impossible anyway under the pseudo progressives. But she was even worse than they were by quite a distance in terms of at least her policies. So she may have had some good points, but I wasn't aware of that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I became familiar with her husband over many years, Vernon, who might be more moderate than Carolyn expressed herself
perhaps
earlier on. But
I didn't know that.
Throw in this for Carolyn Boozenhart.
I mean,
she stuck her neck out, and she was willing to be attacked, and she created interest in issues.
Well, the same is probably
to
true.
To me, Robert, that's not bad.
I mean, that's probably true with Pamela Comstock, too, you know. But, I mean, I'm
and
not...
I happen to think Pamela Comstock is one of the best... councilpersons.
And you might say that's true for Donald Trump, who stuck his neck far out, and he won his gamble. Does that make me praise him a lot? Nah, I don't think so. And I do praise Pamela for some things. I wish that we could be organized and as big a right-wing hate constituency as she has, similarly with Carol Boozenhart, but we aren't. I mean, does that mean I want to sit around and, you know, schmooze over their memorial? You knew them personally, so that's different for you, but not for me.
There are some things that I won't quite mention now that I learned today, a little thing that goes back, my God, 21 years that I didn't know, that was expressed to me today by a very high-ranking former public official.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying it took my breath away, but it showed the depth of fear and intimidation. Corruption.
Well,
maybe one day I'll open up about this.
Okay.
When I feel
well,
that,
let's not be too mysterious. Well, let's not be too mysterious here. I mean, if you got something to say,
I hear
always
you.
Forget.
But here, look, Comstock actually pulled stuff off. She did stuff.
Well, she had a constituency that was, and she was, you know, she wasn't just, she was a wonderfully independent spirit, which she, you know, to some extent was, but her independence was sort of proto-fascist independence, which I'm not a big fan of. So I got to say that. While I admire activists, and fascists can be very strong activists, I got to tell you, Bob.
Wasn't it Comstock that got the downtime bathrooms going?
Briefly, yes, and then she collapsed months later.
Comstock that did that.
Then she collapsed 6 months later. I mean, let's be real about it, Bob. Yes.
Oh, come on, Robert. She's got kids. I mean, you know, she was winding
down
4 years. She's
got kids. Well, fuck. What? You're not going to stand up for a basic principle of public sanitation because you've got kids?
No, wait a minute. I'm just saying she was winding down her term. Okay?
No, I can't. Let's disagree on this one.
I think Comstock did exceedingly well. Okay?
Well, you're entitled to your view. That's fine. So, yeah.
In terms of the Donald, I mean, this is a discussion that will go on for, you know, 100 years, basically. How did the guy win?
It's not going to go on for more than 25 seconds on this show. So, what else we got?
The Donald won by the rules of the game. And he won by giving kids helicopter rides.
I don't want to talk
about
the Donald.
In Iowa.
Unless it's related to Santa
Bob,
unless we're talking about Santa Cruz, I don't want to talk about the Donald particularly.
Talking about a new birth of activism.
Okay, so
that's going to come out of this.
Well, you know, I get more impressed when I see you doing things like writing those letters to the Good Times. That is at least the beginnings of activism. Rhetoric on the subject, I don't.
Well, Robert, you don't find rhetoric teaches, interaction teaches.
No, action. Dialogue action teaches. Action teaches. Because you can rhetoric.
Dialogue
we
teaches.
Just had the master of rhetoric in the studio, Bob, and
no,
I'm not
you
impressed.
Had a dodgeball
well,
in
we,
the studio.
We had the guy who likes to throw a lot of rhetoric around. And you do too. So do I, for that matter. But the fact is, the real question is, what do we do? And I'm not.
I understand. No. I understand that, and yeah. I, you know, I'm not going to be a blowhard on your show as I, you know, close this off. But
I'm the blowhard here.
I've had my minor little share of accomplishments, Robert. I've stuck my neck out.
Well,
on multiple occasions.
Well, you have an opportunity. You can always do it again, Bob, and then we can.
I know that, and I'm getting myself ready because I'm running out of excuses why I shouldn't.
There you go.
I'm being really honest with you, Robert.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
I'm 1 year away from formally retiring.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Well, you got
I'm
a year.
Kind of semi-retired now.
You got a year, so.
And there are certain things that I think ought to really get to me. Abject poverty being one of those.
Well, let me get back.
I'm a fan of yours.
Let me get back to the abject poor because that's something I'm going to be talking about now.
And as well you should, and also give some accolades for the what's it called, the church community.
You can do that.
The Association of Faith Communities. They're doing good work
for 20 people.
It's an attempt.
Yeah, and for an attempt. They got lots of empty churches, Bob. Sorry, it's not. I heard this bullshit from Steve Plage 4 years ago, how it was all going to expand. It didn't expand at all.
No, it's people are paranoid, but they do want to help, Robert.
I know.
Come on.
Hey, listen, National Socialists also want to help. Thank you very much. We all want to help. The question is, what is the consequence of our actions, and what do we actually end up doing? I will talk to you more later, Bob.
I'll just say this. If you haven't read Uncle Tom's Cabin, do it.
Thank you, Bob. That's by Harriet Beecher Stowe. I have not read Uncle Tom's Cabin, but I have read the classic illustrated, so there. And I don't know, I may have seen a movie about it or something, I don't know. A story about a pre-slavery, Simon Legree, oh boy, it's all, actually, I should say pre-abolition, pre-liberation, pre-reconstruction, whatever. Anyway, Freedom Sleep Out 76, that's the event that happened a week and a half ago in front of City Hall where police came and raided. I wasn't there, and I don't have any audio of it, but I've got accounts about it and some interviews before the raids happened. I will say that Freedom Sleep 77, again, the Tuesday night sleep out in front of City Hall on the sidewalk protesting the city's anti-homeless sleeping ban law that makes it illegal to sleep outside after 11 o'clock at night, even though there's no shelter for 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people in the city. Apparently there were no tickets, and there was a considerably reduced membership or population there, perhaps because of the continued opening of the winter shelter, the program run by the Association of Faith Communities, which Bob wanted me to give some credit to. And I guess they're going to be expanding in, 3 or 4 days? January 1st. Maybe it's even December 31st, I'm not sure, to include an additional shelter that was supposed to be the Salvation Army. But so instead of taking in 50 people, they take in 75 or 100 out of the 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people in Santa Cruz. Not that they're all jumping up and down and panting to get into these crowded, everyone's coughing in everyone else's face, regulated shelters that they're so paranoid about what the neighbors think that they won't allow you to walk directly to the shelter. You have to go through an intake process and all kinds of crap. So, nonetheless, there's shelter for a number of people. And as the temperature drops below 32, which it's going to be doing on one of these nights coming up the next few, in fact, even snow is being predicted. Yeah, I know, that sounds ridiculous for Santa Cruz, and it probably is. But that's what I was finding on the weather report, which I will probably can look it up right now and see if they're still making this claim. See if it's proposed. There's a protest coming up on Saturday, which I've mentioned before on the air, and which all you regular listeners, if any of you are there, know about, which is the matter I mentioned briefly to Chris Krohn earlier, the Sean Arlt murder or killing by the unnamed police officer, with video and audio available but not available to us. And let's see what I got here. Well, I don't, yeah, this, I'm not getting a 10-day weather forecast. I'm looking at the Weather Channel here before we go any further. Let's see what we got here. No, it doesn't look good. Saturday and Sunday, we got partly cloudy. And, well, no, we've got, I guess the weather is, either the weatherman's gotten warmer or the weather instruments have warmed up, whatever. What I saw earlier today is now gone. So that's good. The temperatures are going to stay, well, there is one. On Wednesday, January 4th, though it's mostly sunny, the low temperatures at night will be 30 degrees, according to this. That's pretty damn cold. And if it rains, I guess they had thought it might rain before that. That would have been snow, or could have been snow. So, anyway, there's going to be an event on Saturday, and it looks like it's going to be cloudy and in the 50s, but at the town clock it won't be snowing. It'll be New Year's Eve, in fact, and we'll be in the middle of the so-called triple fine zone period. That's the time when if you have an open container, unless, of course, you're having a little drink of wine in the proper area outside of Hoffman's, then you will be subject to triple fines of hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So open a beer on New Year's Eve on the streets, and good luck to you. They're going to have these roaming tax squads around, or they usually do, from other jurisdictions. All the money we've dumped into the police department, or that they've drained out of the community to arm the police department for dealing with the public under the, you know, used to be the drug war, and it was the gang war, and then it was, of course, the war on terror. But in any case, it's war, all right. It's a war on the community in this case, unless you are following the prescriptions that the authorities have set down for you. And even then, even if you are, if you aren't showing a proper kind of response to proper orders or even improper orders, you may find yourself on the business end of a bullet, as Luke Smith did. And that's, of course, what the is going to be happening in terms of the protest on Saturday. And I think it's going to be the last one, unless we see a large crowd, at least the last one that Steve Argue is organizing. He's announced that this is his sort of his farewell performance, at least for the time being, on these issues. But he's been concerned about these issues for decades, as have I. And I know that there was initially a great horror and a big vigil at the town clock that dissolved into not much. And we're still, you know, there's not, you don't hear, it was not a large campaign issue by any of the candidates that I heard about. It was not something that resulted in marches to the police station by Huff or anybody else, by any of these organizations. And it's, unless you get that kind of action, I think you'll get the same kinds of cover-up responses from police departments, police department officials, those who protect them, those who are their superiors, and so forth. But we will be there at 1:30 with some hot coffee and, who knows, maybe some cookies and lots of signs. Last time I was stalled for 45 minutes on the freeway while they cleared away the wreckage of two vehicles, and I couldn't make it back in time. Steve Argus seems to enjoy mentioning repeatedly, but he's right. I didn't make it back. But join us at 1:30, and who knows? We might cook up something else. It depends on who comes, what kind of energy is there. That's always really a function of that, and you know, strange things can happen. 1:30 town clock, Saturday. Justice for Sean Arlt, Luke Smith, and the rest of us in the community. Release the video, release the audio. Reform in the police department of a meaningful accountability and accessibility. Prosecution, Steve Argue is calling for, of Deputy Vigil, who shot Luke Smith dead from a distance with an AK-15. And at least Sheriff Hart was forthright enough to mention that and to release a few clips of video. I think a total of 12 minutes from there were 11 officers hanging around nearby and 7 or 8 squad cars, so I imagine there was plenty of other video that we haven't seen. But what we did saw was bad enough. Essentially, it looked to me like they were shooting someone to protect a dog who was mauling Luke Smith, who reportedly had a 4-inch knife and who had stabbed his grandfather or two of his relatives while under the influence of LSD in a bad trip, or so they tell us. So let's go to Freedom Sleepout 76, listen to some stuff from the street so we can be put in touch with reality contact with the abject poor. I don't know how abject they are. They're probably pretty poor. And let's see what we got. Talking with
Lawrence McGregor.
Lawrence, you're set up here on the sidewalk in a relatively comfortable-looking situation. I don't know if it's a tent, but it's a kind of a warm. You're surrounded by cloth and tarps and objects of different kinds. How I describe this, but you've been here, you say, throughout the week.
I've been here since last week, right here where I'm laying right now, right in front of City Hall, every day.
And what's been your experience here?
I have a couple officers that asked me to leave, but I never left. I showed them, I packed up a little bit, I moved my house over, made sure people could walk by. Mm-hmm. They asked me at home.
And during what hours were you encamped here?
I camped here by 9 o'clock that night till 6 o'clock in the morning.
So you stayed the night here?
Uh-huh.
Were you generally alone or were other people with you?
Me and that one, I don't remember that one lady who sings along and always talks about the signs and all.
Audie?
Yeah.
So she was here for the last week?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see her tonight. Is she here?
Or? I don't know yet.
Okay.
She might be at the warming center. They're supposed to be dropping down to 20 degrees tonight.
Yeah, I hadn't heard the warming center was opening up till maybe the weekend, and even then, only one night of rain, so I don't know.
I'm not worried about the rain. I'm just worried about these cops leaving us alone.
Well, you say that they have been, aside from telling you to move and then not coming back to hassle you, they've been leaving you alone?
Yes, sir.
What about last week at the sleep out here at 75?
There was only a few cops, but it wasn't anything big, but they just yelled at people for sleeping on the red bricks, that's it.
Did people move from the red brick area?
Not really.
Well, that sounds good.
I won't move from my spot. This is my spot, and I've been staying here since it started.
And you've been doing this for almost a year and a half now.
Yes, sir.
Is it growing on you?
No, I love this spot. I want to make a little, like, a home right here.
All right. Anything you want to add?
I want my name on the list. I want everybody to know how many days I've been here and how many weeks I've been here.
So you'll be calling me up on Monday on the Huff line saying, put my name on the goddamn flyer. Right?
Yes, sir.
And we've been talking with?
Lawrence McGregor.
Thank you, Lawrence.
You're welcome.
And Lawrence, while a regular at the Freedom Sleepouts, is often a man who can exaggerate. That's been my experience with him. And he didn't call me to get his name on the list, but the list being actually I do a regular Indie Bay and Huff email announcement of each Freedom Sleepout as it comes out. You can find these if you go to the Huff website. That's huffsantacruz.org, where you also can find archives of these shows going back to 1995, actually. Let's hear more.
So we're talking with Sonny. And Sonny, you were ticketed recently. That happened?
Yeah, I was ticketed a few days ago. I was moving from, what is this church right here?
The Greek Orthodox Church.
Orthodox Church. I started right there, slept for a second, had to relocate, so I went to the art museum.
The Civic Auditorium?
Civic Auditorium, yes. And then from that Civic Auditorium, I relocated, getting woken up again.
Same people with the police or security?
Police.
About what time of day or night?
Oh, some early morning, 2, 3 o'clock. And then I relocated to the post office.
And how did things go there?
At the post office, I got at least maybe an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours of sleep, a power nap, until I got woken up to get a ticket.
Same police, or was it Rangers?
Police.
How many cops were there?
One officer had given me a ticket. He said I was being a little bit loud when I was giving him my information, which I had just barely woke up the third time. And I read him my license or my ID number, including my name and birth date, height, and he gave me a ticket. And before I got to the post office, there were already a few people there sleeping.
Did other people get tickets as well?
No.
So he really...
I was left over there at the post office by myself, and the officer had woken me up like around, I want to say, 7 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, and read me gave me a ticket, asked me for my ID.
Did he give you a legal place to go?
He told me to go to the homeless service shelter, but at that time of day, I can't. Getting moved from here to here to here to here.
So what are you doing here tonight? Is it because you could be going to the shelter if you wanted to? Why come to the Freedom Seeker?
I feel there's a lot more impact here at the City Council's hall. And instead of going to the shelter, I'm a little bit claustrophobic and people are getting sick in a small area. Locating us at a far place at a certain curfew time to be there, so that way other folks could play around on the streets, and I feel that's wrong.
You don't want to be excluded from the public spaces.
Yes. So I would like to have some fun time at night time as well, too, enjoy music. But we all have a curfew.
I see you have a guitar with you.
Yes, I do have my guitar with me, and I enjoy it, every minute of it. I was hoping for the City Council Hall to be up here speaking again so that way I could...
Another month, they come back in January.
Yeah, so in January, hopefully I could stand up on the following Tuesday and give a great big shout-out apology for those who have hurt and called in a derogatory name. It was uncalled for, but I'm taking anger management classes, which I am doing now, and I'm helping myself to work that out.
Well, you know, you could always... That building over there is where the City Council offices are. They are in the offices sometimes. You can make an appointment to talk to the new mayor, Cynthia Chase, or the two new council members, Crone and Brown, I think they're called. They are called. And you don't have to wait till January 17th or whenever the new City Council meeting meets. I'm not sure what the date is. Not that anybody's going to listen to any of that, because, unfortunately, people get up there in these higher positions and they don't have any... They can't. Everybody's kind of deaf to what's happening underneath or lower.
I feel that I struck a vein with the City of Santa Cruz and to the public as well. And I felt like I was shunned, where I struck a nerve and opposed as a threat to the city, which I'm not. And I was told to be quiet. So instead of speaking my voice and freedom of speech, upon everybody. You know, freedom of speech is based only upon those who rule the city, other than those who live here.
When were you told to be quiet? What was the situation?
A couple of days when I went to court.
In the court they told you to be quiet?
Yes, in the court they told me to be quiet.
What were you in court for?
A review for a domestic violence charge. I'm 29 weeks into my class now, and I'm learning every minute of it, every time I go.
Well, I wish you luck with that. And again, we've been talking with
Sonny.
Thank you, Sonny.
You're welcome.
Any reports?
The Greek?
From the Greek.
Right. I'm still standing.
I noticed.
After all this.
And still eating. How's
well,
the food?
I don't do that very often.
How is the food?
But I'm very grateful for whoever is that person. That
Joe Schultz, I bet.
Yeah. I will stop there personally to thank them for their good thoughts for the others. Yeah.
Yeah, good thoughts and good deeds, both, for sure. Any other thoughts, Greek man, about what has been going on recently you want to pass on?
Well, I don't know if that will be heard, but I told the long arm of the law, the police, in this town, in Santa Cruz, wrong uniform. Get rid of these clothes and dress like homeless. Get rid of this shiny vehicle that everybody knows it's a police car and drive something else. And get out there and start removing floating garbage. It's a lot. And stop harassing people that they will smoke a cigarette, a cigar, their pipe, or whatever else they smoke.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I like when I hear on the news, Fox News, whatever says, fair and balanced. Right. Everything is fair and balanced here. You get just a little bit over Highway 17 in the city of San Jose, the picture is totally different. I mean, it's a jungle there, too. The moment you return back here, same parade. The parade of the fire trucks, the parade of the... The moment you come entering Highway 17 into Santa Cruz, same picture. 2 days later or three days later, same picture. Well, I'm looking at a sign there that says sleeping is not a crime. Well, in order to sleep, you have to have a bed, blankets, windows, doors to lock up, and so they should leave the people, especially if they have a car, a van, or whatever vehicle, and four wheels, right? As long as they pay for all their fees, from registrations to insurance to fuels to repairs to broken glasses from idiotic drivers that they drive in front of you hauling gravel and the gravel jumps over and crack your windshield, more pay, flat tires, nails on the ground, more pay. So pay, and you own your vehicle. Why can't you sleep on this and instead of being harassed, have somebody stop by and say, are you okay? Do you need an extra blanket? Here's a couple of bottles of water.
And we've been talking with?
The Greek.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So we're talking, may you mind if I put this on audio?
Yeah.
And we're talking with?
Jimmy Costa.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Pardon?
Go ahead with what you were saying.
No.
You were ticketed a few days ago.
Oh, yes, I was for sleeping at on Ocean Street, and I don't think it was, what's the word?
Fair?
Permitted about that.
Prohibited?
Prohibited. Mm-hmm. And the cop was very obnoxious. Mm-hmm. Very rude.
Did you notice his name?
No, I don't.
What time of day did it happen?
About 11 o'clock in the morning.
Very good.
And were you alone or in company?
Yes, I was alone.
And who else? Are there other cops around? Just this one cop?
Yeah, just one.
What did he say to you?
He says, retards aren't allowed to sleep on the sidewalk.
And you said, of course, you've got a bed for me to sleep in.
I said, well, where am I supposed to sleep? In the sky?
Nicely put.
And in Santa Cruz, the great liberal city, it is legal, not illegal, to sleep after 8:30 until 11 at night on public property, provided you aren't in one of their closed areas, many of which close at sunset, and provided you're not in the downtown area, lying down on the sidewalk anywhere, even on the very broad sidewalks where you're bothering no one, or lying down on a bench. And people, however, tend to get harassed in the parks as well, even during these hours, although it depends, of course, on the kind heart of the individual ranger or police officer, or whether they've gotten a complaint. You see, if a sacred complaint comes in, then all the rights of the person complained about disappear in Santa Cruz, if you happen to be a poor or unhoused person, or such is often the case.
And he then gave you a citation.
He gave me a citation, and I gave it to my worker, and he's going to follow up on it.
That sounds good, Jimmy. You sleeping here tonight?
Yes.
And have you been successful sleeping here in the past without tickets?
Yes.
And what do you think of the Freedom Sleepers?
Say that again, Robert, please.
No, that's okay. What do you think of this group, the Freedom Sleepers, here? You're a Freedom Sleeper, I assume.
Yes, I love it. And I wish more people would get involved. I wish I could take the city council and tell them to shove their camping band up there. Woohoo!
Indeed. And we've been talking with
Jimmy Costa.
Thanks, Jimmy. Let me give you a flyer here. Robert about this.
Yeah, you asked me if I had a story to tell you.
I want to hear that.
I was drunk to you.
So we're talking with...
All right. The Santa Cruz Department stole all my personal property, and they said, well, you can get it on Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday. And they go... They said, we destroyed your property. I go, why did you steal my property and destroy it? Because I had a bottle of hydrogen peroxide in it, because I had a cut in my leg, and I'm bacterial. They said, they said, hazardous materials in the backpack. So anyways, they got my food stamp card, my bank card, I got Social Security. They stole everything I had and never returned it.
When and where did they take you? When were you given this?
This happened in October.
And were you sleeping? Were you walking? Were you sitting?
No, I was just hanging out. I don't know, but it...
Where was this?
Well, where it happened. It happened up at the park over here, at Highland Park.
Was it like a Friday, a Saturday, a Sunday?
It was in September. I don't remember the exact date. I just remember they stole all my property.
How many cops were involved?
One.
Remember the name of the cop?
I had his badge number in my wallet because I didn't think I'd ever get anything out of it because they ripped me off. And what I told them, as far as I'm concerned for the rest of my life, you people are my mortal enemies. I don't steal. They steal from me.
I hear you. And we've been talking with?
I've known you for years.
You want to say you are for the radio folks? You don't have to.
I'd love to.
Okay.
All right. I'd be fine.
And you are?
What?
Your name is?
Steve. Just go for that.
We'll call you Steve.
Yeah,
that's
because
who you are.
I don't want these guys the cops going after me.
Okay.
Oh, the bag that still looked exactly like this one.
But you got, this is another bag.
Yeah, and I have it. Fortunately, I didn't have a DVD player at the time. What I always do now, because I like going to the library and watching movies, they would have ripped that off. Well, they ripped everything I had off. I only had a radio, which is okay. I mean, all my blankets, I mean, clothes, T-shirts. But fortunately, I didn't have any electronics, because they would have stolen that. And then they lie about it. The biggest lies I've ever seen. Santa Cruz people are the biggest lies I've ever seen in my life. They're thieves. They're thieving liars. And they expect me to obey the law when they're criminals? I'm not a criminal.
Thank you, Steve.
I drink a little bit, but I mean, I'm not a basic criminal.
Any street reports?
No, I just told him the whole story. Thank you, Robert. Thank you. I had to get it off my chest.
Yeah. No, it's good.
It's a true story.
I don't lie.
I'll see you later.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
I had to be on. Thank you. No, I feel better.
But sure. All right. Good.
I feel lighter.
And we're talking with
Darren Cook. This is Eagle.
And
Laura.
Any reports, you guys?
Yeah. Today we were walking across the street. The stoplight said 5-4-3-2-1-0. And it turned yellow to red. I get about halfway out, and my dog stops in the middle of the road. We're going across the street, and cars are starting to go, and they stop by the clock tower, and we got a ticket for jaywalking, both of us. And the cop says, "Oh, Merry Christmas to both of you." I'm like,
"It's like a service dog to me."
Yeah, yeah.
Name of your dog?
Bubba Kush. He stopped out there in the middle of the road, you know. There was nothing I could do. I had to either proceed or stop. Mm-hmm. And I stopped and had to get him across because he's waiting on Mom to come across the crosswalk.
The police, were they like in a car nearby or standing?
He was in a car at the intersection, I guess, one or two cars back. And
did he stop the car and get out of the car to give you a ticket?
Yeah, he stopped and
did he block traffic behind him?
Yes, he did.
And how long did the whole process take?
Probably 5 minutes, 5 to 7 minutes. Neither one of us had warrants.
Did you give him a ticket for blocking traffic?
No, I didn't have a ticket book, you know.
Well, here's a flyer about the Freedom Sleeper 76, if you're interested.
Here's another thing going on. Another thing going on is winter shelter's pretty cool. We went up there 2 nights ago. We spent the night up there. We got in fine. But they only got room for 55 people. You know, they got a small little place, you know.
Showers?
No showers. You got to shower at the shelter if you can get in there. I mean, they just got the weird hours for showering around here. They store your stuff out there off of River Street above the shelter there by the tannery where they pick up the pickup place. You know, they've got our stuff out there right now. But that's great because that's something they need for the whole town. But they only allow 55 people. You got to be there between 4 and 5:30. I might have a job at the Goodwill here soon because I applied at Goodwill out of 19 jobs out of 25 that's available. And I got references, and I talked to the guy, Chris, that's running that, and he said, if I get a job, as long as I'm there by 5:30, he'll hold a bed for me. But if I don't get there by 5:30, and I get off work, say, 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, I'm screwed. I got to find somewhere else to sleep, you know?
So what have you been doing?
Well, last night we tried to get up there. I had back spasms on the way just past Clock Tower, and I had laid on the ground to get my back back into form. My girl didn't want to go without me because she wanted to see if I had to go to the hospital. And by the time we got out there, it was too late. You know, they were turning a whole lot of people away. The women's
center. How many people would you say were turned away?
That I've seen, probably 15 or 20. Hmm. You know, so I mean, and I got out there. We got out there right at about 5:30.
This was yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah, we got out there about between 5:15.
The 19th.
The 19th, yeah. Now I had a medical emergency. There's nothing I could do. I had to stop and lay down to get my back in. It lasts about 10 minutes, so that slowed us down a little bit. But you know, I think they should find a bigger facility. Or have it overflow open, no matter what. Have it open, you know. Or these cops get off of us about sleeping around town, you know, because you got not only the Santa Cruz cops, you got the sheriff, you got the rangers, you got the first alarm, you got the other security guys in the ones that are assholes in the little cars, you know, say security on the site. And they don't give a damn. And they come up, it's time to go, they call the cops on you. They don't give you a chance, you know. And they try to rush you like ASAP. Not ASAP, but like right away, you know, and they threaten you, and you know, they run their mouth, and you know, I'm just getting tired of it, you know. I mean, we fall asleep, they move us here, fall asleep, they move us there, you know, shit's just getting old, you know. If
any,
there ain't no
any jail experiences recently?
No,
that's good.
I've gotten tickets, so
I you know, hope you can avoid it.
You know, I'm just getting tired of these tickets, you know. The sleeping tickets is one thing, you know, that Chris or John out at the shelter said today he'd take care of those, but all the other ones, like jaywalking, that's my fault because my dog stopped in the middle of the road.
Sounds like a disability. Yeah. But again, it's hard. You have to go through this not guilty process and then go to another court appearance.
Yeah.
Huff isn't meeting until next Wednesday, after next, a week from Wednesday. But when we meet, you're welcome to come. You've got my card, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I got your card.
Or you can call me on the Huff line and I can see.
Yeah, I finally got
not that I have any magic bullets or anything. I
finally got a phone today in the mail again to replace it.
Well, call me and leave. Give me your phone number when you call. And
yeah,
you
I don't really know the phone number.
I'll find it out.
I got it in my pocket, though.
And we've been talking with
Darren Cook, Eagle.
Thanks, Darren. AK. Bye.
And Eagle did call me the next day. Actually, I was out, and I got the message the day after. The cops had come at the Freedom Sleepout 76. That was the one week and a half ago. They'd given tickets to a bunch of people, including, I think, his girlfriend, but not including him, or him, but not including his girlfriend. And one man had been taken into handcuffs. That was Monterey Max, who apparently did not come back for the last Freedom Sleepout a couple days ago. He was otherwise occupied. And it was sort of a thin turnout for Freedom Sleepout 77, the one that happened 2 days ago. In fact, so thin that when Joe Schultz brought coffee, he was unable to find anybody there really who could receive it who was in a position of any kind of authority. I'm not sure who would be in a position of authority at the Freedom Sleepouts, but often there usually is one or two people who kind of take responsibility in a certain way, and that wasn't happening 2 nights ago. So I'm not sure if this is going to be continuing next week. I'm assuming it is, because some of these folks, they take a breather, they go away for a while, and then they come back. And this is the holiday season, so folks are out of town, or some people out of commission because they're not well, and some people are enjoying a vacation and want to get the hell away from this stuff for a while. It can drain you. You're tuned to the stream of free radio, freakradio.org. My name is Bathrobes Pierre Robert, or Robert Norris, if you may know me as. You can reach me off air at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's the number for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group that has been meeting every Wednesday at the Sub Rosa Cafe. And until I send out a notice that we're going to stop meeting, I guess we'll continue meeting those folks who show up. But there's some uncertainty about it because it's, I guess maybe it's a matter of sort of health for me, but it's also a matter of whether it's effective to meet during the winter and whether we're getting anything done, at least stuff that I want to get done. So if you think you're interested in any stuff you're hearing online here at Free Radio and you want to be a part of it other than simply entertain yourself twice a week, the show airs on Sunday as well at 9:30, call in, let me know. And you don't have to come to meetings, but we can do stuff independently of meetings. Do Public Records Act requests, post items and information on various websites and let people know what's going on, organize activities that expose abuses that are happening. There's plenty of stuff to do if people want to do it. The number is 423-4833. So in the meantime, you can listen to this. It's a thing called Black Bodies.
President Bush visited the hurricane-ravaged Gulf Coast states of Alabama and Mississippi, thanking rescue workers and speaking with residents who tearfully told him of their ordeal.
Should have been evacuated days before, and what was left was the price to pay. The price to pay was the black bodies floating in the streets. There were hospitals filling to the brim today with the water in the desperate hands. Propaganda spread so quick, claiming murders and rapes, but it was bullshit, and the warming ocean swayed. The ocean swayed, and there were hospitals filling to the brim. Bodies floating in the streets today, and people came FEMA turned them back with folks still stuck up on their roofs for days. And weeks drew from those days, and there are black bodies floating in the streets. There are people hanging their heads today, crying out of desperate rage. Who can we blame for the flooded streets? For the evacuation was incomplete, there's so much left to say. So much to say, and there are people hanging their heads.
The mayor says political leaders should stop giving his conferences and concentrate instead on getting the relief efforts up to speed.
Well, there are black bodies floating in the streets today. They said the city's gotten out of hand. People taking water and clothes and shoes. Some taking medicine and food because relief was far away. Relief was kept away, and there are black bodies floating in the streets. Well, there was water rushing in through the cracks today, and then the whole thing just came down. Maybe because recalls were all ignored when people urged that the levees get reinforced, except for now it'll be okay. And back then it seemed okay, but there was water rushing in through the cracks.
These people have the power to do right, why don't they do right? Imagine when the American public is going to wake up to the fact that the people who own and run this country don't want to do right. They know they have everybody in the country afraid of them. People don't love this country so much, they're afraid of what their own country will do to them.
Well, there are black bodies floating in the streets today, canaries in the mines. Politicians played politics. Seems they forgot that a storm had hit. They said the looters are gonna get away. But they didn't all get away, and there are black bodies floating in the streets. Well, there are thousands in the stadium seats today, waiting for a rescue crew. Maybe because they didn't think the levee bust. Maybe because the temperature's going up. Some couldn't get away. Some chose to stay, and there are thousands in the stadium seats.
That was an ancient pre-2008 song, I guess not that ancient, but old, from Ryan Harvey, Black Bodies, posted on YouTube in 2010. Yeah, it's a little monotonous and not terribly informative, but it's got a certain punch to it. Call-in number here in case you want to give any comments in response to what you heard earlier with Christopher Crone, council member-elect, or actually council member now on the council. You can call in at 427-3772, 427-3772, or you can leave me a number, add a number off air, 423-4833, and I will pass on the word in case you are feeling shy about coming on the air. I'm going to play the rest of the interviews from Freedom Sleep Out 76, the one before the last one, about 10 days ago, or 9 days ago, actually.
Hey, Santa Cruz, a.k.a. Eagle.
Hey, hey, thank you. Anyway, we're talking with
George.
And George, you say that there was a confrontation here last week?
Yeah, last week here, it was raining, so some of the freedom sleepers took the shelter of the covered walkways. And at 0:45 a.m., the cops arrived and gave the people under the covered walkways tickets for seeking shelter from the rain.
Any idea how many?
I don't know. It was more than one.
Yeah. You weren't here, but this is your second-hand report.
Yes, I saw the ticket. It was for the park is closed ticket. Mm-hmm. It was written for 045 hours, so that would be 15 minutes before the park opened. So they waited all night.
6 o'clock.
They were precisely arrived so that they could catch these horrible lawbreakers.
Pretty clever, these park rangers, or actually these security guards.
No, this was a Santa Cruz cops.
Santa Cruz cops
came.
Well, they obviously were. They solved all their rape cases, right?
Of course. Well, you know, the police chief in his generosity opened up the uncovered bricks for sleeping, but apparently when it rains, people are not allowed to go seek shelter of the covered walkways. They need to be out in the uncovered brick walkway.
They could defecate and urinate. That could be a problem, George.
Yeah.
We know homeless people are naturally dirty, right?
Now you're putting words in my mouth.
Yeah, definitely. That's part of my... I'm just one of my master stratagems, as you know. How's the food, by the way?
Food is good. It has meat in it. But,
That could be Joe Schultz's work rather than Food Not Bombs.
Yes.
Anything else about last week you want to comment on?
Yeah, it was Max from Monterey who I saw his ticket and the accounting.
He's a loyal Freedom Sleeper. He's been out here many nights and he's gotten at least 3 citations, been to court on several of them. He fought them. The guy even got a public defender to help him with one of them.
Well,
without
he was
success.
Talking about pleading guilty and doing community service for this one.
Oh, you can do community service here with the Freedom Sleeper.
That's what we were suggesting.
Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah, Food Not Bombs, you're eligible. Food Not Bombs can sign off on your community service. So if people want to work off their community service, they should look into volunteering at Food Not Bombs.
I agree. I think it's a good idea. What have you heard about this Occupy meeting, this meeting on Saturday? I haven't heard anything by people, but I've seen something written online about a Saturday meeting of a sort of a residual Occupy group at the post office or something.
I haven't heard anything about that.
I'm just wondering, just trying to...
Yeah, in fact, the Occupy Santa Cruz website is, like, kind of dead. It looks like around Thanksgiving it was... everything was removed, but it's still there, and my editor's password doesn't work anymore. So.
Oh, wow. So, because you kept it going for quite a while, or you were at least involved with it.
I was the last editor, as far as I know.
And there's nowhere that all that past is stored?
No, Cruz.io is where it's stored. Talk to the Cruz.io people to see what they did, whether they backed it up.
Get new information, let us know, because I think, you know, documentary history, I'm a big history fan. I think it's important to have that stuff.
Yeah, it's a shame. I went to the Internet Archive, and the Occupy Santa Cruz had a robot text saying, don't archive it. So it wasn't archived in the Internet Archive, which is unfortunate.
And we've been talking with?
George.
Thank you, George. So, Dreamcatcher, you got another ticket this morning. What's that about?
I just woke up a little late in front of the apartment complex. I don't block a doorway, but I block a UPS delivery door sometimes, and she had to come by and remind me to not sleep in.
She reminded you with a ticket, or she just reminded you?
No, she wrote me a ticket. That's okay. I mean... And then I fell back asleep, and then she had to come back and say, hey, you got to get up, Mr. Warren. They got to get the mail through. And I realized I fell back asleep because it was so, really cold this morning. So I'm still looking for a big weather jacket, you know, like a 2X or 3X to go over all my other stuff. If anybody out there wants to help with that, get it to Mr. Norris here, and he'll get it to me. You know, I don't care what color.
You have a preference?
Well, black, of course.
Black color, that's black like the heart of the police department.
Well, no, it just hides all the dirt better.
Nicely put.
Yeah. So anyway, my sleeping bag is getting holes in it. I'm going to need a new one of those pretty soon. I like the big move around inside of them type sleeping bags, but it doesn't matter. I can put another one inside this one and be all right. My trailer's got pushed off some stairs, so it bent the frame a little bit, but I'll be able to fix that. And my bike is one of the best bikes I ever had, and I'm not getting in any trouble. I'm not in any pain. I've pretty much got all my business sorted out in this town with, you know, everybody. You know, it's kind of nice.
And, of course, we've been talking.
I do a dream catcher. I can kind of get back to my artwork now.
Feather on, man.
Yeah.
And some folks have arrived with some supplies. Leaving them
like
here.
Scarves and gloves. And
scarves, gloves.
Hygiene supplies.
And hygiene supplies. Indeed. Christmas comes early here. And that was what I picked up from Freedom Sleep Out 76, which would have been on the 20th of December, that same day as the Homeless Memorial for the Dead. So I'm going to take another brief musical break and see if I can catch a live person on the phone to give us an update from Berkeley. First I came for the homeless encampment is, as far as I know, continuing its struggle to survive, and its successful struggle to survive, but I'd like to get some more details, because they're really an inspiration to me. I'm not sure what I'm being inspired to do other than keep coming in and chatter on the radio with politicians and old-timers and such, but I do it anyway. So let's hear this, and I will be right back. Ryan Harvey in the blink of an eye, and in the snap of a fingers on the line with me, I have Deadly Dan McMullen. Hi, Dan.
Hey.
Oh, boy. I think I have you on the line. Are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. So I was just brooding on what might be happening with our shivering friends out there and the first they came for the homeless encampment. Do you have any updates?
Hello?
Hello? Another couple. It's First They Came for the Homeless is working with Disabled People Outside Project together to bring attention.
To bring what? You're breaking up. Yeah, I can't. I'm having trouble hearing you. I'm getting these sort of dips and blips. You want to try calling me here? Can you hear me? Yeah, it sounds like we're doing shortwave radio or something.
Okay, I'll call you back.
I'll try calling you back. And let's see if we can do that. We got it ringing. Let's see how we get any further here. Hopefully.
Hello.
Hey, I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you too.
All right, so what's cooking? Are those freezing folks still hanging in out there in their tents? Is Mike Zint dead as a doornail? What's happening?
Yeah, a lot of stuff has happened last time we spoke. First of all, Disabled People Outside Project and First They Came for the Homeless. We're still together and still camping. We are on the north side of Berkeley at the Gourmet Ghetto.
What's the address for those who want to wander on over there?
We are on Shattuck Avenue between, what's the name of that street? Is that Rose right there, Katie?
What?
Yeah. Rose. Right by the Safeway, between the CVS and the Safeway on the little traffic triangle there.
And how are the neighbors treating or responding?
Neighbors are pretty nice. They've come out, and like the first night we were there, a family said, can we buy you guys dinner? And bought everybody like a really nice warm dinner. And people have been coming out and bringing clothes to people. We lost a lot of stuff in the last raid, so we were pretty much out there with a few tents, tarp and covering, and we were up to speed. These were just our neighbors. So I'm really impressed with the people themselves. It's the government that went on vacation and left us at the mercy of the city manager once again, and that's been really disappointing.
Well, I know I got an email from Carol Denny that cited Jesse Arguin's, whatever his name is, the mayor's new position or same old position that they're going to enforce the anti-camping laws. He specifically referenced First They Came for the Homeless. And I think he might be echoing Chris Worthington's line that, oh, these are service-resistant people who don't want to get into shelter. Am I correct in understanding that or not?
Open.
And
one our camp said,
you're breaking up. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. One of the people in our camp asked me, he goes, you know, I'm not feeling too well. You think you can? Me?
Yeah.
Long way, all the way down into the deepest bowels of industrial Berkeley. And when I got there, I was shocked to realize that it was in the garbage dump of Berkeley.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up. Sorry, man. I think the problem is: are you talking directly to the into the phone, or are you on a speakerphone? What's going on?
Yeah, let me try to shut off the speakerphone.
Okay.
Okay. Now.
That's maybe better. Go ahead.
Okay, so we went down. We took this long journey down to this lower industrial area of Berkeley. All the roads were like crazy, and we had to actually backtrack a few times to go around these big flooded streets and go other ways. And then we finally got there, and I realized it was so dark that I just didn't even realize where I was at. And then I look up, and I'm at the dump.
Now,
and
this
I'm like,
is,
well, this can't be it.
This is where
I passed the dump. And
this is where the storage area was? Hello? Dan? Oh, boy. We need a whole new phone. Yeah, we need a whole new phone system here. I don't know what the deal is. Let me try again another time because I'm not getting this. Maybe you can send me an email or we can talk off air and I can record it perhaps. We can.
Okay. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for trying, Dan.
Yeah, they do this every time.
So maybe in the future we can thwart them somehow. Call-in number, and I think our local phones are still good, 427-3772 is the call-in number. I wanted to read something that I downloaded from, or actually just picked up from... Well, here's an article called The War on Terrorism Just Keeps Making It Worse by Patrick Coburn. And this is not about local stuff, but the war on terrorism, of course, is something that our city council could weigh in on in terms of examining investments that we may or may not have in companies that fuel the war industry or are assisted with corporate activity in some way. We could take positions demanding a withdrawal from Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, all the other places around the country, around the world that are suffering from the military might of the United States. I know it's against the terrorists and they're very bad fundamentalists, it's yada yada yada. But they live there, you know, and we're just sort of moving in to intervene on one side or another. We being not us, but the U.S. government, which has nothing to do with me or anybody listening to this broadcast, probably. Just they suck off our money and they murder in our name. And it's what we're stuck with. But, you know, perhaps I will skip this article, even though it's, I think, worth looking at. I like getting a lot of articles off the Counterpunch website. It's a way of suggesting the rather obvious point that when you kill so-called terrorists, you make more terrorists, particularly if you bomb a lot of people at the funeral for the terrorists, you know, even then, and claim you're trying to be very careful in who you kill. Here's something called Dialogue with a Psychiatrist by Ekaterina Nechetikalovna. Sounds foreign to me. And it was written apparently on Christmas Eve. I like being mad. As I explained in my article, Being Mad is Liberating, which was removed from the site for a year upon my request because I got scared of stigma. Silly me. Being mad, when properly processed by the brain, can help one to reach enlightenment, which, in my humble opinion, is the aim of madness in the first place. Gods are talking to us, the mental, and it's up to us to hear them. Believing as I do in many different things from all kinds of religions, I think it might be that the animal spirit world tries to wake us all up, not only the mental, in order to push us away from mediocre thinking, like instead of watching useless TV shows, spending all our money on such craziness as Black Fridays and totally ignoring what is happening in the rest of the world, we should actually stop, reflect, and start caring more about our planet and what matters in this life. I do reflect on such things, and I do consider myself an enlightened human being thanks to my madness. I also believe that I could have been Buddha in a past life and that I am still meant for greatness in this life. That might sound overambitious, vain, or like what psychiatrists might call delusions of grandeur. But such qualities are necessary in order to survive psychiatry. As Albert Einstein said, great spirits have always encountered violent opposition from mediocre minds. I have to say that I do miss talking to a good psychiatrist, however. I could sit and argue for hours with a psychiatrist who is intelligent and kind, quite hard to find, but they do exist. Especially now that I have a Ph.D. in philosophy and have read everything that can be found on madness, including the notes they wrote about me when I was in the hospital. Nowadays, psychiatrists have a tendency to sign me off pretty quickly when I come onto their radar. They don't wish to deal with me. I tire them out. Therefore, I am left on my own. And so I talked to that nice, clever, invisible psychiatrist while sitting at the salon having my hair and nails done. I feel like a celebrity now, drinking my cappuccino and waiting for that final blow dry. And so I look into the mirror and I say to the psychiatrist, if you want to talk about delusions, let's first give a diagnosis to psychiatry. I say that it's you who has delusions of grandeur. Excuse me, he answers, did you forget to take your meds today? Actually, no, I reply, admiring my new color in the mirror. I figured out on my own the precise dose of medication I need in order to walk in a state of semi-permanent psychosis and still lead a productive life. I'm able to see magic and fairies and be directly connected with the divine, but still wake up at a reasonable hour, take my child to school, go to work, buy groceries, write and read, and meet with friends and get a manicure. Oh, really? He says, looking a bit skeptical. Yes, I reply. I love the psychosis because it's exactly what they preach will happen in heaven, a feeling of total joy, happiness, being totally free. Neither psychiatry nor the weight of society can deny me this pleasure. I can't really see the psychiatrist, he is in my head, but can imagine him rolling his eyes and rubbing his chin while giving me that pensive in-the-know look. Can you please elaborate more on your last statement, he asks. Yes, you think you are real and sit there and preach to me on how I should lead my life and which medication I should take, telling me that I am bipolar, while in reality I am enjoying my day, having a nice cup of coffee, having my hair done and believing in fairies, while you choose to believe in the most stupid manual possible. Which manual do you refer to? We have quite a few, he replies, taking a sip of coffee. Since I am having one, I don't want to deny him this small luxury, even if he isn't quite real. So a nice cup of cappuccino it is. Yes, I confused the staff at the salon when I insisted on 2 cups of coffee, but they should be used to my eccentricities by now. Last time, I brought a Bible to read while my hair was done, and I was surprised that my hairdresser managed to keep a straight face the entire time. I do need to live up to my diagnosis of bipolar, you see. Yes, I say. I mean that stupid diagnostic and statistical manual of mental disorders. A title not made for dyslexic people, that's for sure. I nearly fell asleep by the 10th page, but you have almost 1,000 pages in it, hundreds of, quote, disorders, and every one of them a figment of someone's imagination. The psychiatrist is in the middle of taking another sip from his coffee, but puts his cup promptly back on the table in order to reply. I reckon that this topic is important to him as well. Well, since you mentioned it, he says, and please don't tell anyone I told you this, the truth is that most of us are quite fed up with that manual as well. Like it's also known as DSM-5, by the way, for those who are following psychiatric jargon and the latest. Pages and pages, indeed, of totally useless stuff and sciency jargon, but this is the strategy psychiatry came up with as an institution so that we can give you a diagnosis and then treat you accordingly, as much as I personally might hate it. How can one judge an individual based on some syllabus? I am so bewildered by his response that for a moment I remember that I am not talking with a real person, but with myself, and that nice, kind, and insightful psychiatrist is strictly in my head. I miss them so much, the psychiatrist, that I invented one for myself. Like I said, they tend to sign me off too quickly now, telling me that I understand my illness better than them, illness in quotes. They shouldn't do that, though, in my humble opinion, as I could help them to manage their load if I got the official invitation to help them in their profession. I will come back to that at the end, explaining what I mean by invitation. Don't forget you are just in my head, I reply to the psychiatrist, since I don't want him to get too delusional either. Am I? He seems rather sad, and for a moment or so, I wish he was real and not some imaginary friend sitting in my head with my hairdresser asking whether I'm okay because I pronounced my last statement aloud, forgetting where I am. Did I mention that I am bipolar? Well, yes and no, I reply, deciding that one way or another I will finish the dialogue in a positive fashion. You see, I've had the opportunity to meet some good psychiatrists. It is not the individual doctors who are at fault, even if some of them are assholes, but the profession as an institution. If anything, now that we are talking and I try to make sure that I keep it silent as I want to come back to this salon in the future, I realize that my imaginary friend reminds me of another psychiatrist who was more real and helped me a lot. You remind me of Alesha, I tell him, the Jewish psychiatrist of Polish origin who treated me after my second psychosis on the recommendation of my friend. Alesha was a rarity in the profession, as he agreed with me that psychosis can indeed be a shamanic experience. He was the first psychiatrist with whom I became friends. Thanks to him, I stopped fearing them all. Really, tell me more, my new friend, the psychiatrist replies to me, in a clearly better mood. He even has another sip of coffee. Alicia was amazing. He had a small office attached to a large hospital in Amsterdam, the town where I lived when I first became psychotic at the age of 27, and he agreed to see me even though he already had too many clients. He found my case interesting because despite being bipolar and on medication, before meeting him I explained on the phone that I still believed in magic, and if he denied me that pleasure, I wouldn't see him. I think he was so taken aback by my statement that he offered me a meeting the next day. And the imaginary psychiatrist in my mirror is smiling now, I know. It is hard to find mental people who still like some of them. But it isn't the individual psychiatrists who are at fault, but rather the state which doesn't implement the necessary reforms, plus the general stigma in society and total misunderstanding about what madness is. Madness is magic, and one needs to become aware of it. Well, he had a small office filled with books and piles of stuff, and it was difficult not to like him. He would smoke a cigarette, ignoring the no-smoking sign above the hospital's entrance, while trying to clear some sitting space and make me a cup of coffee at the same time. That's why I made sure you have a nice cup of coffee as well. I do believe in equality, even if some of you don't. You think you have authority over us, the mad. You give diagnoses too quickly, overdose us, and try to kill our souls. The psychiatrist starts to tremble. Please don't forget, I am one of the nice ones, but do explain. I remember that he is not real, that I'm having my hair done, that Christmas is coming and it is a beautiful day and I shouldn't get angry, especially since I am among the lucky ones. I figured out the madness and I figured out psychiatry as a profession and the weight of society in terms of what people might think of you all by myself. Madness comes from God and we need to hear his voice, and the only way to stay tuned to his message while keeping both feet on the ground is to have either a minimal dose of medication or none at all. But then each individual case should be treated as separate and not as a mass marketing campaign for their stupid manual of diagnosis. You need to realize that what we see and hear in our madness might be very real, I tell the psychiatrist. It isn't just delusions, hallucinations, or non-existent voices. What if it is indeed all real and magic does exist? Do you understand that in that case you are just killing any remnants of creativity? That if you continue to diagnosis from as early as 5 years old, you will soon end up with robots? Robots are nice, but not when you make them out of humans. The psychiatrist is again in a pensive mode. Okay, let's imagine that what you say is true. What would your solution be then? How would we talk with the patients? My hair is almost done, and so I need to think fast on this matter. Christmas is coming, and I want to finish this dialogue on a nice note, especially since I do believe that a good exchange of ideas with psychiatry is needed, not just a negation of it, and that we can do much more if we indeed talk with each other, share our experiences, even exchange some jokes. Well, how about abolishing forced medication in isolation rooms? How about you stop putting mental patients into prisons? That could be a start, don't you think? And since you elected President Trump, and he quite obviously likes Russians, how about the idea of me leading a reform on mental health in your country? Didn't I tell you that I am overambitious? But we will now have to finish the conversation another time, as they are done with my hair. And so removing the hairdresser's cape with a flourish befitting the Queen of Russia, who I am quite sure I was in a past life, I am off to check whether I will see any fairies in the nearest park. And that's a story off of Robert Whitaker's Madness in America website called Dialogue with a Psychiatrist by Ekaterina Nechelatelakolova. And she has also written a story called Being Mad is Liberating. It went on a bit, that story, but it may have had a point or two that you might find of interest. In Santa Cruz,